I'm going to stand up here behind the pulpit for a minute because I got some scriptures that I want to be able to lay my Bible down. I know we've got people here. This is your first meeting this week. And boy, we have laid a lot of foundation. So hang on. Is all I'm saying. I'm going to review quickly, but even less than yesterday, because I know exactly what he wants to. Well, I say that. I think I know what he wants to do today. Go ahead and be turning to Genesis 1. And today you can put a marker in John chapter 12. We'll be over there eventually. Let me mention this also. Those of you that were here at last night's service, one of the most anointed things I have seen all week that you don't see at a lot of churches or conferences especially, is when the presence of God was so strong in the building, right at that time when normally the offering was supposed to happen. But did you see what happened? We're not going to disturb that anointing by taking up an offering or anything else. You know, the Lord comes first, the anointing comes first, the offering came last, and that's the way it should be. I'm pretty sure it still says, Bronk brought this out earlier in the week, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. I just thought that was great. I loved it. Okay. We've been talking about man made in God's image. We've also been talking about God's original plan for man. What was His plan from the beginning for mankind? So we've been going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to launch again from there today, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to try and synopsize, because today we want to get over into the dominion aspect. What's God's plan for dominion? But His original plan for man was laid out for us very clearly, and the Holy Spirit, when He repeats Himself with something three times in two consecutive verses, that's important. He's not prone to do that. And you'll find here in Genesis, He makes the same statement three times in two verses. Like, this is so important, we have to get this. And to be honest with you, the church hasn't gotten it. I've never heard this way until just very recently, after all these years of praying and meditating the Word. But what was Adam? Let's talk about Adam. Let's say, what did God intend for mankind to be like when He originally made man? What did He have in mind? What kind of person was man supposed to be? Right here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Yes, sir, and I'm going to say this sentence. We're so harvest-minded, and we're supposed to be harvest-minded, that we've come to think now that the gospel is about getting men and women, getting them saved and getting them into heaven. Well, we are. We're all about that. But you do have to understand, God's original plan for man was not for man to live in heaven. God's original plan for man was for man to live on planet Earth. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where that's going to happen. Okay? Now, we have to get them harvested and get them born again, so if they die, they go to heaven right now. But that's not going to be their eternal home. God's plan for man was him to rule and reign on earth. And that's still the way it's going to be. Well, look here in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our what? In our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man, here it is again, in His own what? And just in case you didn't get it, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Three times in two verses, two consecutive verses, He says, I made man in God's image. In the image of God made I man. I think He's trying to get it across to us. He made man to be like God. Now, when it says in His image, what does that mean? What would be the definition of God's image? Well, you don't have to turn to this one, but we've got too many scriptures now. You can listen to the previous messages. Hebrews 1:3 gives you a definition. You can look it up later. talking about Jesus being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. That's why Jesus, when Philip said, "Just show us the Father. Just show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I mentioned yesterday, I did a study, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, years ago. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I knew that I had to get an image of Jesus because religion had painted all kinds of false pictures of what God was like. You know, we in the church I grew up in, we always prayed, "If it be thy will," when it come to healing somebody, because we never knew. We thought maybe God put that cancer on them to teach them something. Maybe that car wreck was God, you know. We just never knew. So I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again and again and again and again until there was an image formed on the inside of me. Christ, you look up that word image, it's the Greek word character, and it means an engraving. It means like a statue. It means like a graven image. And then I remembered, I understood why in the Old Testament God told them in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt make no graven image of me." Why? Because man was not be able to produce an accurate image of God. We'd say, "Well, he's strong like a bull. He's abundant like this. He's that. He's that thing over there." God says, "Don't you provide an image. I will provide an image. I'll send my Son. He is the image and He is the express image of me. If you've seen Him, you've seen me." Well, I found out God doesn't. I look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't see Jesus putting sickness on anybody. I don't see Him causing any donkey wrecks, camel wrecks, car wrecks, any other kind of wrecks. I don't see Him destroying anybody's business. Jesus is a blesser and a healer and a Savior and a provider. And that's who your Father is. And that's what He intended Adam to be like too. Whoa. What? In His image. Then one day in a vision form, praying in the Holy Ghost, I highly recommend it. The Holy Ghost becomes your teacher. And He will illustrate His messages with little movies. And one day I was, this is important for some, you know, if you've heard this already, bear with me, it's important. We're there and it says when God formed the man's body out of the dust of the ground, you know, and God breathed into him the breath of life. Well, I've read that 1,000 times like you, well, a lot of times like you have. But then one time, the Holy Ghost, He played this little movie in my mind. You know, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but it's all one God. Right? Our brain starts leaking out our left ear. You think about that too much. But it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but it's one God. But in this little movie I saw, it was the second member of the Godhead. It was the pre-incarnate Christ. It was the Word before He was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. No, not one single thing. And I saw Him. It was Him, the second member of the Godhead. It was the Son Himself holding that lifeless body there. And it was He that He just leaned over and He breathed His own nature. He breathed His own life. And I understood God's original plan for mankind was to be made in the image, to have the character and the nature of the second member of the Godhead who is the image of God Himself. I mean, God's plan for man was a noble creature. Sold out. Now, he was not God. God did not make another God in Adam. But Adam, if you'll allow me, was God-like in his character, in his nature, in his humility. If he had the nature of Christ, how humble was he? See, did Adam, it helps you understand things. Did Adam have to sin? Well, did Jesus? Could have. But see, the second Adam, he won where the first Adam failed. We may get to that later on. Well, but you know what happened? Okay, and then God took, we just read it, Bronk read it today, you know how God, from man, made Eve. But Eve at that point had that same nature. Because she had that nature that came from the inside of Adam, and that nature came from the inside of God. So they started off good. We went through a whole little skit here yesterday and the day before showing about the fall. This evil serpent, played by Bronk himself, came up and tempted the fair Eve who was Sue, you know. And of course, always when you're ministering in another man's church, you always make the pastor Jesus, you know. So we had Jim. Now next month you get to be Jesus, you know. And Homer has to be the devil. Sorry, Homer, I'm coming. Okay. If he's watching it, that'll be okay, right? So you know what happened, though? Now, Eve, it says she was deceived. Sin is not laid to her account. She was genuinely deceived. And this part's important. I'm going to go through this a little carefully again today. You know the command. Adam only had one command. Is that right? And the command was, if don't eat the fruit of that tree. All the other trees, you can eat the fruit of it. But if you eat the fruit of that tree, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. I want to represent that command by holding up my Bible here. That was his word. That was his word of God. Adam had it. It's not like he didn't know it. He did know it. This is important. Bronk, I need you again, please. Sue, I need you again, please. Now, Adam's got the word of God. Y'all know the story. Here comes the serpent tempting Eve. God had said, the day you eat of that fruit, in that same day you shall surely die. That's the word. The devil says, thou shalt not surely die. In fact, God's playing a trick on you. He knows that you're totally dependent on Him right now to know good and evil. But He knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll become wise yourself. You can decide for yourself what is good and evil. Here. And He offered her the fruit. Or maybe she just went and picked it. Anyway, she has the fruit. And she decides to eat it. And the thing I didn't get for years reading that account, see, we think Adam wasn't there. It says she turned and offered it to Adam, who was with her. That rascal stood right there. He should have thrown that serpent out to me. He said, what are you doing talking to my wife? Get out of here, you weakling. Bronk is the weightlifting champion of Immokalee. They quit having the championships after he won it. They go, why try? Anyway. So, I'm serious. So anyway, Adam is watching. Now get this. This explains a lot of mysteries, this little parable right here. Adam is watching as Eve takes the bite. God had said she'll die. The serpent said she'll not die. And he didn't know it was the devil. Said she'll not die. Adam's watching. Uh-oh. My five physical senses tell me she's not dead. She didn't fall to the ground. He couldn't see what's happening in the realm of the spirit, but he's becoming a judge, judging whether God's word is true or not. And he's making his decision based on his five physical senses. Now, God said she'd die. I'm looking right at her. She didn't die. Now, this fella here, he said she wouldn't die. I've got to make a choice. Which is truth? I can either hang on to what God said and believe it, even though my five physical senses tell me otherwise. Or I can hang on to God's word. What do I do? What do I do? I'm going to let my five senses be the judge. Give me a bite of that apple. Now, he did it with full knowledge. He knew what he was doing. He chose to reject the word of God and to depend on the evidence of his five physical senses as being truth. Have you ever heard a phrase called the just shall live by faith and not by sight? Are you starting to understand why? Living by sight, living by the five physical senses, that was the path out of faith. That was the path out of the garden in all of the blessings of God. That's why the only way back in is through faith in God's word, no matter what your five physical senses tell you. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Praise God. Man fell, and the question, now we went through this at great length. I'm just going to do it very quickly today. The great theological debate is, well, couldn't God just forgive man? Okay, he messed up. Couldn't God just forgive him? But see, what happened there, it was more than just what happened, his nature changed. That holy, righteous, God-like nature that Jesus had breathed into him, when Adam made that choice, something perverted his whole nature. We call it spiritual death. We call it, God said you'd die, and that's exactly what happened. His God-like nature died, and he became really a child of the devil, if you want to know the truth of it. He became a sinful, prone creature, what we call a sin nature. And again, I'll just do it once for quickly. Envision form again one time. Now, I know he didn't change physically like this, but the Holy Ghost was trying to teach me what happened. And from God's point of view, I mean, before he ate the apple, this is my son made in my image. I'm so proud he looks like me. But after Adam ate that, in vision form, I saw it one time, you know, when Adam come around that from behind that bush, man, I saw this twisted, perverted, humpback, slobbering, had three eyes and had tentacles coming out his forehead. I mean, it was the most misshaped green skin. What was the Holy... He wasn't really like that, but the Holy Spirit was showing me, compared to what? To God? He had become this twisted, depraved creature coming out from behind that bush going, can't you just forgive me? And really, God did. If you read that story, it says an animal was slain and God clothed Adam and Eve with the skin of that animal. That's looking towards the Lamb. That's the first physical death. He did provide forgiveness as he the potential of, on the cross, the day would come. He provided forgiveness, but he's looking at those twisted creatures and he's going, I'm going to provide forgiveness, but we got a lot bigger problem than that. I don't want to forgive you and leave you like this. I want you back the way that I originally made you. That's why we had to have all of that time in Israel and eventually the coming of the Lamb and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because only God is smart enough. See, Satan thought he had man. He's got him. Because every generation produced sin creatures just like the ones before. And every generation, they're born with that sin nature. And he's going, Dave, I heard Dave say it this way first years ago. He says, you cannot get a Savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. Yeah. And Satan thought he had man. There was no way that a Savior could ever come because every baby that's born is born with that same perverted nature. Only God could figure out a way to seed the earth with life again. Hallelujah. That a man could be born in the womb of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost, without having that sin nature, but once more a man could appear on earth that had the very life and nature of God on the inside of him. Only God could be that smart to come up with a seed to seed the earth with life again. Go to John 12. John 12. Glory to God. We haven't gotten to this verse yet. See, Jesus understood exactly why he was here. He knew why he came. And the time had come finally. Picking it up in verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Now let's just stop right there for a minute before we read the rest of it. Just every stroke of the brush. If you've never heard Pastor Dave's series on meditation, imagery, and delivery, every sentence, every word, Jesus is like a master painter. We don't really think in words. We think in pictures. And every one of these images is so important. So let's just think about, I noticed they've plowed the fields over here across from the church. They're getting ready to plant corn. And we've been here in the harvest time. I've seen corn out there taller than your head, you know. Now, you just think about any seed, whether it be corn or wheat. You take one little seed. Let's take corn. We have a lot of corn in Oklahoma. I'm familiar with corn. You take one little corn seed. It's kind of yellow and maybe a quarter inch square kind of. And you plant that thing in the ground. and it's just one. You plant that thing. The first thing that starts coming up out of the ground isn't yellow, it's green. Everything in you goes, something's wrong. You ever get anybody born again go, oh God, anyway. So, lots of strongholds, but anyway. It's green. And the thing keeps growing, you're going, man, every tendency in you want to dig it up, say, now is this what I planted or not? But you let that thing keep growing. Jesus said, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And you, the finally harvest time comes and you take off one of them big old ears of corn, you shuck that thing, and you go, my goodness, look at this one ear. There's row after row after row of seeds, and there's more than one ear on every stalk. And you know what the amazing thing is? Every seed is able to do exactly what the first seed did. Now, what did he say? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall... Why? He's the seed. Now, see, the church at large, religion at large, has kept us in shackles. It's kept us, you slimy dog worm, you ought to be just grateful for the blood. And they'll get you saved. Now, I'm talking about after they get you saved. But they'll keep you tied down because you know you filthy, no good thing. You ought to be just, and we are thankful that you just barely make it into heaven by the skin of your teeth, and you don't ever think God's going to answer your prayer. You know, or whatever. You know, you're just an old sinner saved by grace, and on and on and on. And they read you all kinds of passages out of the Old Testament that I didn't even know was out of the Old Testament, because it's quoted in the New Testament. You know, the heart is desperately wicked. I'm shaking off my microphone. Those guys, man, they thunder from the pulpit. It felt like that his finger was coming right to my nose, you know. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I'm going, boy, that's probably right, you know. That's prophesying. That's from the Old Testament. One of the prophets talking about the state of the unregenerate man. That's this guy. That's this guy. That's the heart of that sinner is absolutely desperately wicked. But they're trying to convince you that you're that same old person, just forgiven now. But I found a verse in my Bible, and it doesn't say if any man be in Christ, he's the same old creature. Just forgiven, that doesn't say that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. You're a product of the seed. God's wanting to open up the He's wanting to shuck this conference. I can't find the word corn. Conference. And He's looking at rows. He's looking at rows of seeds. And He's going, every one of these has the potential to do exactly what the first seed. Every one of them. That's God's plan. It was His plan from the beginning. He wanted the species of man, to all of them, have that God-like nature, all of them be in obedience to God, going about the earth, taking dominion under the Father's instruction. And He wanted a God-like species of people made in His image, having dominion to do His will upon the earth. He hasn't changed. That's still His plan today. Now, we're in a certain stage of redemption. Adam did not have a body like yours. He didn't. He didn't have a body that had the motions of sin in it. He didn't have a body that desired sin. He also, Adam did not have a soul that was trained by a fallen nature for however many years it was before you got saved. And I'll tell you another thing. Adam did not grow up in a fallen world. He didn't have all of the influences and the pressures that you have. Okay? But that still doesn't change God's plan. We are at a certain stage in the redemption plan. See, the day's going to come, you're going to get a glorified body. I don't know if you're as excited about that as I am. I can't imagine having a body that's holy. You know, I tell my body now, let's go get 2 dozen Krispy Kremes. And my body goes, yeah, baby, we're out of here. You know? I can't imagine having a glorified body. This is my body. I'm going, hey, glorified body. Let's go get 2 dozen Krispy Kremes. And he goes, are you nuts? No, we're not doing that. What? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells? Yeah. where you won't have all of the influences and the constantly surrounded. You know, we are in this world, but honey, we are not of this world at all. We are not of this world. Okay, let's go back to John 6 here for a minute. John 12, I mean. You see that part, verily, verily, isn't, why use that parable if that's not what he means? He says, right now I'm the only one. And religion has taught us that he was the only one, and there will never be another one. Now, he is the only Savior. I understand partly where they're coming from. Look, and I'll also tell you this, you're not ever going to be God. Okay? God didn't intend for man to be God. He didn't intend for Adam to be God, but he intended for Adam to be a God-like man. And that's what we are. We're God-like men. We have His nature. We can hear His voice. And we're going to get to dominion here in a minute today. Okay? Now watch this. So except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And we watch Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you see Him walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Man, that's a world of darkness, just like today, you know, sin and sickness and cancer and leprosy in that day and every kind of damnable thing that sin brought. And here comes the light. And there's only one. But I mean, everywhere He goes, devils come out. Cancers get healed. Cripples walk. How about the maimed are made whole? While they watch. It says, and they saw it, meaning that you sit there and you watch. Somebody came to a service without a leg. Yeah. And while the service is going on, you watch that leg grow out.
Yeah.
Get some of that on ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Fox News Network. I'm telling you right now. That's the kind of revival we're headed for. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be doing this message. I do believe it. And that's exactly why we're pressing on. I expect to see that in my lifetime, which means it's got to come. Let's get on with it. I expect to see it. Maybe next week. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tonight. Why not? Hallelujah. But see, religion has kept us, and we honor Jesus, of course. But it's kept us with this mindset. He was the only one. My own father, who's gone on to be with the Lord now. He knows better now, my dad. My dad's a good Baptist daddy all the days of his life, loved Jesus, sang bass in the choir. He was in construction, so every time we moved to a new church, guess who was head of the building department? My dad, you know. And he loved the Lord. He genuinely loved the Lord, but he had been so indoctrinated. I was trying to share with him in the early days. Later on, the Lord taught me not to do it so much. But he wasn't hungry. Why? He was satisfied. See? Well, anyway, I was trying, in those early days, I was saying, but Jesus said, the works that He did, we'll do also. My dad, about six foot two in his heyday, broad at the shoulder and there at the hip. You don't give O.R. no lip, you know. I said, He said the works that He did, we'll do also. Boy, he'd look at me with those steely blue eyes and he'd go, only Jesus can do that. So I got his Bible, King James. I turned to it, John 14. I opened it, turned it around to him. You know, so here's my dad with his Bible now. Put his nose right there. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Looked right up at me and said, only Jesus can do that. And that's been pretty much the mindset of the whole church. Because we've not known who we are. We've not really understood God's plan. It's worse than that. We've not believed His Word. But part of that is we've not been taught His Word. It's not, we've not really heard the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's been locked up for like 2,000 years. Bronk and me and Jim and Dave and others, Jimmy Miller, others, we're like archaeologists, you know. We pray in tongues, we meditate the Word. There's been like 2,000 years of rubble stacked on top of the original foundation stones, you know, Jesus being the chief cornerstone and the all of the foundation stones that the apostles laid. But it's like 2,000 years of religion on there. We're like archaeologists. Shandala baku sandale brestore. We're digging down through there. Christos mandaria. Meditate, meditate. Handala baku sandale brate. Assimilate, assimilate. Handala baku. And every now and then we find one, you know, we go, God intended man to be God-like.
Of course, I get excited right then. I run over to Dave. Does anyone know this, Dave? Look at this. And he always goes, now, you remember about 10 years ago. But to me, it's new, you know. But I do think we're uncovering things that have been hidden. God's not withholding revival from us. He is pouring through us every ounce of His power and mercy and love that He possibly can. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. So God's real plan, when the reason Jesus says what He says there, yeah, we see Him. Boy, He's the light. Everywhere He goes, we see light overcoming darkness. We think, yay, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Wish you were here, Jesus. And He's going, did you not read my word? He says, you know, He could have stayed. He says, I taught this lesson many years ago. He said, it's better for you that I go. And at the time, I had an aunt who was dying of a brain tumor. Medical science had done all they could, but the part that was remaining, there was nothing they could do, and she was just dying. And I'd read that verse, and it's more expedient, it's better for you that I go. And I'm going, how in the world can you say that, Jesus? Because I know if you were here, even if you had headquarters in Jerusalem, but if you were still on planet Earth, you know, if I had to take a number, make an appointment to see Jesus, I mean, it might take me 6 months to get my aunt to you. But if you were here, I know if I got my aunt to you, she'd be healed. How can you say, and I didn't understand, how can you say, now I'm understanding so much better. If He stayed, that's how we'd all have to do it. If you wanted to hear from Him, be blessed by Him, be touched by Him, you'd have to go to where the one kernel was, wherever He was geographically on the planet. That was never the Father's plan. The Father's plan was to multiply, be fruitful, multiply, cover the earth, and every single kernel of corn being able to produce exactly what the first one produced.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He asked me a question one time. He asked me a question one time, and remember, when the Holy Ghost asks you a question, He's not looking for information, okay? He's not waiting on you to explain something to Him. But He asked me a question. He says, have you ever seen any type of plant where you take a seed and you plant that seed, you fertilize it, you nurture it, you water it, you watch it come to full harvest, and when the pod or the whatever it is finally opens, there's only one seed in it? I said, I got to thinking, I have never seen. Somebody tried to trick me one time and says, oh yeah, women have just one baby all the time. Uh-huh. Now wait a minute. In the male, how many seeds?
Yeah.
In the woman, or how many eggs? Okay, see? No. You'll never see anything, because that's not the way God did it. God intends to plant one seed and then produce many seeds. Every seed able to do what the original did.
Hallelujah.
We're coming into that time. And it's not just the evangelist, the pastor, it's not just the fivefold. Jesus said, those that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You just got to be one of the seeds. You've got to be born again. You've got to have that life that Jesus is your Adam. The day you were born again, for all practical purposes, He took your lifeless spirit in His arms. And He once more, He breathed His own nature on the inside of you. You are born of that same. And when I compare that with the original vision, knowing it was Him that breathed life into Adam, you received nothing less. You received, it was the same Christ, the same second member of the Godhead, breathed life into Adam. He breathed life into you. Glory to God. We're actually called to believe this. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to face the same battle that Adam faced. See, isn't this good stuff? Are you liking this? Wait till I get to the part where about you are already created righteous and holy. What? Maybe you argued with your wife on the way to this service. Or maybe, you know, this, that. Maybe you had an unsanctified dream last night. Maybe you ate 3 sausage links instead of just 2. What I'm saying is there's some kind of imperfection. 5, somebody said. We're faced with exactly the same dilemma as the original Adam. God's Word says, you're made in my image. You have my nature. The real you is righteous and holy. We have God's Word. I need the enemy again. The accuser of the brethren now. You unrighteous outfit. He starts to do like this. You know how you know what you said. You know what you did. You had that dream. You wanted. You wanted 5 sausages. You know you wanted them, even if you didn't eat. You know, and we're so intimately acquainted with all of our failings, every little mistake we make. You know, we're going. Well, I know His Word says, but everything I see, my own failings, my own faults, my own. Took a shower today and more hair went down the drain. And, you know, we're so intimately acquainted with all of that. We've got to make a choice. Are we going to be the generation that finally says, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how I acted. I don't care. Now, we're working on that stuff. That stuff's not okay. That's called transformation. See, until I started hearing Dave Roberson, everyone told me the same. Okay, thank you. That's good. Everyone told me, Gary, you need to walk in more love. Duh. I knew that before I came and listened to your hour-long message, you know. Can somebody tell me how? Gary, you need to operate in more power. Duh. You know? And I put an offering. I can't believe I put an offering in to hear that. I already knew that. Can somebody tell me how? Gary, you need to have more faith. On and on and on it goes. And then somebody tell me. Or how about, Gary, you need to change. Duh. I know that. Can somebody tell me how? And it wasn't until I started hearing these messages that there was a way that I could turn myself over to the real tutor. We hadn't even got to the tutor. Verse 25, you got to see verse 25. I couldn't clear this up forever. We'll get to the tutor hopefully here in a minute. Let's read verse, let's start in this passage again. John 12:23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now let's go on. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I didn't quite know. I mean, you can make all kinds of messages out of that verse until I saw the image. You know what life he's wanting you to hate? None of these people are born again. He is preaching to them before the cross and he's telling them, I don't care. You might be a Zacchaeus. You might be a very wealthy. You might be, you may have the swimming pool and the houses and the fine camels, whatever they had then. You know, not cigarettes. I'm talking about real camels. But anyway, I'm from Oklahoma. But see, on the inside, this is the life. And you may have everything. You know, Sue and I, when we got saved, we lived in the right part of town in a nice house, had 2 Cadillac cars. My suits in those days were custom made, but on the inside, I was this guy. And he says, you got to hate that life. You got to hate that life. I have a better life for you. I have a life for you. Let me breathe that life into you. You got to hate it, see? And he goes on here, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, now he's really talking about the leadership of the Spirit. Did y'all know Jesus is alive and well? He is seated at the right hand of God. Did you know he has a plan for every city, every tribe, every nation? He is there.
if you'll allow me, with the mind of God, the mind of the Father for that place, He's searching the hearts of His people. Will you follow me? If you where I am, there will my servant be. You know who had this in a plaque? They had that verse in a plaque on the wall over the bed. The first time I ever really, that verse stood out to me. And it was in Korea. First time I went to Korea, and there was that verse. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Glory to God. I thought, following Him, following by the Holy Spirit, doing this message. When I first heard these messages, driving over the road trucks, and that's a great job. It doesn't matter what job you have. You could be in ministry. You could have any kind of a job. You can be a housewife. It doesn't matter what you do. But if you start praying those mysteries, letting the Holy Spirit begin making intercession, how in the world, it says, we don't know what to pray as we ought. I would go, duh, again. I mean, driving those trucks, how would I know to pray? Oh, Father, please, someday, send me to South Korea.
Yeah.
How in the world would I know anything like that? I had no idea that was part of His plan. But learning to yield myself and trust the Holy Spirit that He knows what He's doing all that time that I'm praying, my understanding at that moment's unfruitful. But honey, it don't stay unfruitful. You begin to understand the mysteries. You begin to understand His calling on your life. You begin to understand. And you just start making decisions and going, why did I do that? But in hindsight, you go, oh, that's why I did that. It's His leadership. And where He is, if you're His servant, He'll just the right place where He wants you in His body. Just the right. You'll find yourself there eventually. You'll find yourself there. And boy, once you serve Him there, that's when the Father, He really honors you. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute. Now, those of you that weren't here, Jim Martin started this conference off with a message. I mean, I knew I had some insight as to what I was going to teach this week. He did not know. He had no clue. We had not talked at all. He gets up here and he delivers this message that I'm thinking, nobody's going to believe that we didn't talk ahead of time. I mean, it is the perfect message to set the stage for everything that's happened this week. Because he was talking about the difference between Hebrews 11 faith and Hebrews 12 faith. For years, Hebrews 11 was my favorite chapter. It's got why? It's got all my Hebrews. Heroes and Hebrews is Hebrews. Sometimes it's tongue, sometimes it's just stammering lips. But anyway, it had all my heroes in it. I mean, Noah. You know, the faith of Noah just astounds me. You know, in those days, it had never rained. I mean, you know, the earth was watered by a mist that comes up. And God goes, it's going to rain for 120, you know, however long it's going to do it. 40 a day. Anyway, all that. It's going to rain. And he doesn't go, what's rain? I mean, he does it. Hey, can you imagine if he shared, you know, I got to build an ark because it's going to rain. They go, what's rain? Well, I asked God and he told me it's when water falls out of the sky. And they'd go, now Noah, since the beginning of time, water has never fallen out of the sky. Yeah. Noah, who told you that water was going to fall out of the sky? You ready? God told me. Uh-huh. He's about to get that same look you get from your relatives. Oh. God told him. Yeah. For 100 years, the man built the boat. 100 years, not just his family walked on that ark with him. Not any cousins. I mean, they had... You ought to hear Dave teach on this, about how many nephews and cousins. And, you know, they had a lot of children. They lived a long time. Not a single relative even, besides the people in the town, not even a single one of Noah's relatives believed him in 100 years of him warning. You talk about faith, it just astounds me. And this guy had a sin nature. Now, he loved God. We can learn things from these fellows. Don't get me wrong when I say this. You can learn from the faith of Noah. Learn from the faith of Abraham. But here we go, verse 39 again. I've got to do this part today. And these all who? All of those heroes. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Barak, Samson, King David, on and on. All of them, they attained a good report through faith. But they received not the promise. What? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And for us, we have to look not unto Noah, not unto David, not unto Moses, looking unto who?
Jesus.
Why? He is the author. There was nobody penning, writing this kind of faith before Him. Why? None of them had that nature of God. Not one of them. He is the first born from the dead. He is the first person since Adam fell to have that life. He's the one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is the prototype for new creatures. He is the first kernel of corn that was planted in the ground, but you have been harvested from the husk, and you have that same image on the inside of you. What He did, we can do. That's what He said. As He is, so are we in this world. It's going to take faith to believe that. To start really believing. At this point, I want to remind you of a tool that's just recently been made available for you at our website. I took all of the scriptures that talk about in Christ, in whom, through whom, by Him, in Him, through His. There's about 130 of them. We put all of those together in a single document for you. If you go to GaryCarpenter.org and go to the media page and then click on printed materials, you'll see it's one of the listed there. First, we have two documents. One of them is just all of the scriptures out of the King James. So you can print it out at home. It's 26 pages long. Don't do it at your motel. Buy them some paper if you do. But it's 26 pages long. But we have just the scriptures. But then also the other document is called the Confessions. And it's got the scriptures on them too. But I also took every one of those verses and I just went ahead and made a present tense positive confession now, like it's already so in your life. For example, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It says, I am in Christ. I am a new creature. I am a new species that did not exist before. That type of thing. That's a tool that you can start using to renew our mind. Because if you're waiting on God to renew you to this, you're going to die waiting. Like the church has been doing for 2,000 years almost. Since the book of Acts. How do I know that? Listen, God, by His grace, by the finished work of the Lamb, when you believed in the gospel, by His grace alone, He did for man what man could not do for himself. The leopard cannot change his spots. Man could not change his nature. So God, by His grace, when you received Jesus, He put to death that old slobbering sin nature, and He quickened you to new life, and once more breathed the very life of the Son into you. You have been saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. Now we're going to get a new body. I was saying earlier, you know, there's a dispensation coming where we're going to have our glorified bodies, and I'm looking forward to that, but we don't have that right now. But the connection between your spirit and your body is the soul. It's the mind, the will, the intellect. Romans 12, verse 2 tells you, be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God's looking to you to do that. He's not going to read the Bible for you. He's not going to force you into prayer. He is there willing to help you transform. But that renewing of the mind is up to you. And it's not just that witness. It's over in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on this new man. He's looking for you to do it. Colossians says, don't set your affections on things on the earth. Set your affection. That word affection means mind. Set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And by the way, spiritually, so are you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, that old warning, you don't want to be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. I'm wanting to become so heavenly minded that I'm heavenly good on earth. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I heard a television preacher with multi-million dollar budgets the other day bray like a donkey when he said, the Lord's Prayer is no longer valid because the kingdom of God has already come. Let me tell you, when you know the kingdom of God has come, that's when God's will is done on earth, just like it's done in heaven. You see, Jesus, that was the message. The kingdom of God is at hand. If it's at hand, it means you can have it. It's in reach. You see the kingdom of God come. He comes to the blind man. What's the end result? The blind man sees. That's the will of God. The woman with the issue of blood, what's the end result? She's healed. That's the will of God. When you pray, thy kingdom come, what He's really after is for us to find out who we are. Let the Holy Ghost do that transformation where we quit thinking like the world, think like God. Begin allowing Him to deliver us from strongholds where we walk like Him, talk like Him, have the same results that He had. That's when the kingdom of God has come where you live. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. Now we're back to dominion. And I haven't even got to the tutor. Okay, we're going to do the tutor and then we're going to talk about dominion real quick. Somebody close the door. Lock the door back there. I can hear rumblings already. It's not thunder either. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For time's sake, come on down to verse 5. Now see, here's what happens. Once you get born again, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And He scourges, doesn't this sound awful? He scourges every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, can't say this next word, it's too holy, can't say it in church. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Then are you bastards and not sons. I said it. I read the Bible in church. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now, you know, if you underline anything in your Bible, you ought to underline the fathers of your flesh, the fathers of our flesh. God is not the father of your flesh. There is a... I don't know whether to get into that because it would take a while. There is a grace gospel being preached right now that says, basically, you don't have to do anything. You don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. You don't need to... It's all by grace. Listen, this guy I know, Gary Carpenter, deserves hell. If Gary, the old Gary, the real Gary, if I get in any measure what I deserve, it will be hell. It's not news to me that I have been saved by grace. And it's all based on Jesus. It's all His finished work. But my Father did not just save me and leave me to my own stupid self. He gave me the Holy Ghost. We're going to look at the teacher, the trainer, the tutor, and He gave me some tools. If I don't want to stay the way I am, I don't have to stay the way I am. I can allow the Holy Spirit to teach me and train me and mold me more into that image of Christ, all that I want to go. But this teaching, it's like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't. If you sin, you don't even have to ask for forgiveness. I don't know what Bible they're reading. You got to rip 2 Peter completely out of your Bible to believe that. You got to anyway. I believe in getting saved, staying saved, serving Jesus till you die. That's my gospel. That's what I believe right there. Okay. And if He's given me tools where I don't have to stay the way I am, bless God, I'm all about using them. Yes. Amen? Amen. You don't have to. You can get saved and just like the thief on the cross. I mean, He made it. The blood is enough. We're not talking about just... I don't want to just make heaven. I want to make heaven, but I want to be useful here. I want to be an implement of my Father's right arm, right here. I want Him to be able to extend His arm right through this arm and accomplish His will right here on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Okay, back to this. But notice this. He is not the father of your flesh. And this... It gives you the idea, well, you can sin. You don't have to repent. Christians are so forgiven, they don't even have to ask for forgiveness. That is malarkey, baloney to the 10th power. You're not going to find that in the New Testament.
It's heresy. It's all it is. Now, listen. He is not the father of your flesh, and He is not going to accept your flesh in His presence. Let no flesh glory in the Lord. It's not. Now, your spirit, the real you, the one that He created in righteousness and true holiness, you can walk right into the Holy of Holies. Do you know that's why you can pray in other tongues and your mind is unfruitful? For all practical purposes, you've come to the Holy of Holies. Your spirit can go right in there. Why? Well, it's made just like God. It's in the image of God. Your spirit can go in there, sit down in a chair, and like Dave says, as you pray in tongues, the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that's the Holy Spirit. And your spirit and His spirit's in perfect communication. Your mind tries to go in that same curtain, thud, 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 can't get in there. The understanding is unfruitful. It's got to sit outside going, oh, well, I wish I'd have brought Field and Stream or something, you know. It's boring. What's going on? You listen, you can't understand it. Why is that? Your soul is it's not created in the image of God. The soul was really intended to be a tool of the spirit man. I have a series called Servants Upon Horses that'll really help you understand that. But I can't get into that too much today. Hallelujah. The thunder is getting louder. I can't. I've even lost my chapter in here. I blew my own page over here. All right. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Now notice. Which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? That's your Father right there. He is the Father of your spirit. You were born again, free by grace, trusting in the finished work of the Lamb. That is the part of you that He deals with. And He's trying to renew this connecting soul thing. See, we're very unusual creatures. Because of the mind, the soul of man, we're able to operate in both realms. You can hear God and function in the Spirit, but we're also connected to this earth. And the wonderful tool that He made for that bridge is the soul. The mind, the will, the intellect of man. But we're not supposed to be led by our soul. Nowhere do you find that. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Our soul is supposed to take the servant's role. All right, backing up. I've got to get this part in today. Look, verse 5. Hebrews 12:5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening, if you look it up in Strong's, the primary first meaning is to tutor. T-U-T-O-R. Not just teach. See, right now I'm teaching. There's one voice and many students listening. One voice, many ears, right? Then once this is over, you're pretty much on your own. You're either going to do it or not do it. That's the way children are when they go to school. But sometimes they don't always do their homework. Sometimes they don't always really understand it. You know, maybe they got, I don't understand. Well, what does a parent do? You hire a private tutor. That tutor is not dealing with a whole bunch. That tutor is one-on-one with your child. Did you know here it says that God Himself is willing to be your tutor? He comes in the form of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, because He is infinite, it's like He has all of eternity. Just for you. Just for you. You can pray. You can anytime you want to. Just as long as you want to. Just because you want to. Because you want more of God. I've found out something already. He doesn't ever get tired. He doesn't ever get. But He does leave it up to you. And it says He'd come to guide you into all truth. Not push you. Not force you. But guide you. Let me introduce dominion. All right. The second thing that God. When God created Adam, when He created man, have you got it now that He created man in His image? That He intended for mankind to be godlike on the inside, to have the nature of the Son. We've got that established. All right, but the very next thing out of His mouth was, and let them have dominion. God intended for man to be godlike. He also intended for him to have dominion. Now think about Adam's world. There was no sickness. Before the fall, I'm talking. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There were no tornadoes. There were no earthquakes. There were no storms. There was no pornography. There was no prostitution. There was no murders. He lived in a vastly different world than the one we live in. So when you hear how God gives him dominion, it's pretty much over the natural order because there was no fallen order. So over the fishes and the lambs and everything. But now when we see Jesus, he's the second man, the last Adam. Once he is anointed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, same day he was baptized in the River Jordan. From that moment forward, he is crowned positionally as the last Adam. And now God says, let him have dominion. And we see now, he's in a whole different world than the first Adam was. This is a world covered with sickness. This is a world, if you'll allow me, if you'll see the world as being God's garden, wasn't it originally? An enemy has done great harm to God's garden. Where there was everything beautiful and wonderful and God looked at it and said it is very good. Now you look at it and it's sickness and sin and perversion and horrible child molestation. Everything in the world that heinous. And God says, now I have a son again. I have my son on earth. Let him have dominion. And the Holy Ghost comes. And this son now walking in the power and dominion of the Holy Spirit. Does a verse come to mind? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God, the Holy Ghost, was with him. That's the first seed. I'm looking out at many seeds. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's just check. Let's see if Jesus really is the prototype for us. Let's see. Jesus had the life of God in His spirit. How many of you have the life of God in your spirit? Okay? Put your hands back down. Did you know that His body, though, came from Mary? Mary's lineage goes all the way back to Adam. So let's see now. We got a spiritually alive man. That's us. We already raised our hands. Clothed in fallen flesh. How many of you are still clothed in fallen flesh? I'm looking for Elijah's to come. Okay. But he had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and with power. Let's see, how many of you can speak with tongues baptized in? Oh my God. He is the prototype. Just like us. Spiritually alive, clothed in mortal flesh, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Same as us. The difference? His mind compared to our mind. The big difference between Jesus, he was never trained by a sin nature. He was born spiritually alive. We, in mine and Sue's case, we didn't get saved till we were 33. Think about it. 33 years, my soul was taught by a sin nature. Not only that, I grew up in a fallen world. Not only that, I grew up in church, where I was taught a lot of false doctrine. I didn't get to start at zero. I started somewhere about six flights down in the basement. And the Holy Spirit, when He started with me, when I finally heard this message and began praying in other tongues, I didn't get to start at zero. Man, the Holy Spirit, He's got to unlearn me all this wrong stuff, and not only false doctrine, but false perceptions about myself, false everything. And all these years now, He's bringing us up close to something. Can you tell? We're getting close to something. He's bringing this tutor that God gave. I like to call Him the new creature teacher. That's the Holy Spirit. His job is to bring that soul, if we allow Him. And again, I thank God for all of Dave's help in this, because if I hadn't heard his series on the laws of meditation, I don't know how long. You've got 40 years of distilled wisdom in those series. I recommend to you again, if you have not heard all of them, you don't really have anything else to do until you do that. But meditation of the Word, assimilation of the Word, greatly assists this ministry of the Holy Ghost. But He is determined to bring us, our understanding and our thinking, right in line with the thinking of the first seed. Right in line with the thinking of the firstborn. And as He does that, we will begin to think like He thinks, talk like He talks, walk like He walks, and have the same results that He had.
That's enough for today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.